Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of the Moonlighters Club, run by the Moonlighters Agency. For everyone, we have a new guest, a new entrepreneur slash moonlighter.
Hello everyone, my name is Aisha Kumar. I am an ecosystem builder and I am the founder and CEO of Breaking the Ice.
Pleasure to meet you.
Pleasure to meet you as well.
And I like Breaking the Ice. I like the name of that. I know what it is. So I like the name of it. Where are you based?
I am based in Clinton, Maryland, so I'm in Prince George's County.
PJ, Clinton, Maryland. Got it. Are you from there originally?
Yes, I am.
Okay, yeah. I don't think I live in DC proper. I don't know if I've ever been to PG for anything. Like I've spent a lot of time in Baltimore, so I drove through it, but I don't know much about it. How do you like it?
I love PG. It's like a little center of Black excellence. I've always lived here my whole entire life. I feel like growing up is something that you take for granted. But as you become older and you can really like bask in it and appreciate it because you understand it a lot more, PG becomes a great place to live when you really think of it like that.
How do you feel about Washington, D.C. itself, the district?
I lived in D.C. for a little bit because I actually taught at a high school in D.C. So I learned to love D.C. I learned to look at D.C. as what it is. It's not the monuments. It's not the Wizards. It's not the Redskins. It's the people there. And it's really awesome. I lived in Northeast off of Maryland Avenue over there. And I want to say it's Carver and Langston is the area that I lived in when I was in D.C.
Yeah, you're close to where I am. I'm right by Union Market, Northeast. Okay. So it's funny though. I've only been here 3 years, so you probably know just as well, if not better than me. DC living versus like DC tourists, like all that. It literally is two worlds. Like I don't ever go to that side. It's cool to do it, but when you're on this side, you're just in a whole different type of life. Did you attend a university?
Yeah, so I'm actually in a really funny situation at the moment. So I started my master's at Morgan State in the fall of 2022, was going there for a little bit, had to take a pause from there, and I'm currently earning a master's in management from the University of Maryland where I'll be finishing in December of 2024.
Well, I'm going to go ahead and say ahead of time, congratulations. That's awesome. I've never been to Morgan. I've been to Coppin, which I liked. I got to check out the campus at Morgan.
Morgan is actually a national treasure, so go and definitely check it out.
Okay, national. All right. How was that switch between? Do you spend a lot of time on campus at Maryland? Is it? Yeah.
I actually was working at the university at a point in time, and that's what drove me to start that program. Yeah. So I spend quite a bit of time on the campus. I was actually just up there yesterday for Maryland Business Opportunity Center event.
Cool. What's that campus like? Is it cool?
It's massive. That's a giant way to describe it. I would remember when I was a student there, because I also went to University of Maryland for my undergraduate experience. And I would bring my friends who went to other universities and they would be like, no, we definitely have to ride the bus because we have our own bus system. That's how huge the campus is.
That's crazy. What did you end up studying for undergrad and grad? Is it business related?
So my current degree from University of Maryland is business related, but my degree in undergrad and Morgan State are the same degree, and they're not at all related to business unless you kind of interpret it in a way that can be related to business. I studied African-American studies because I like to think you can't really solve issues for the community unless you go back and dive into the history and you go into the frameworks and the theories. So that's kind of why I looked into the major, and I really, really did love it, and I really do love studying African-American studies.
Yeah, it's crazy how much content there is and how much I'm 40 and learning. There is stuff I'm just learning about people I'd already learned about, instances that I had no idea about. It's just so thick. It's so deep here. Just the history Black folks have in this country. It's kind of crazy. But every day I learn something new. I noticed that you said Maryland was your experience at Maryland. Is it had an influence on the business that you have now. What was that experience?
Well, it was actually funny. I started University of Maryland in this fall of 2015, and I did not want to do anything with business. I actually wanted to be a sports manager. I wanted to be a GM. I thought I was just going to go and study, become the first female GM in the NBA, and that's just what I was going to do.
Nice.
But math at University of Maryland really, really humbled me, so I had to take a path change. I actually started networking and focusing more on my social clubs and organizations more than I did my classes, which I won't say that I regret because I had a fun time in university, and I graduated at the end, so I still did something right, you know?
Yeah. So was that the beginning of Breaking the Ice? Like, would you just Yeah.
I wouldn't say it's the beginning of breaking the ice. It was the beginning of my first brand, Iced Out Cosmetics, which was a makeup brand I founded on campus to kind of represent dark-skinned people of color in the LGBTQ. I kind of cut that off when I went into teaching because I wanted to focus more on the classroom than my business. But that was the start of that. And then me closing that business, that kind of was the start of breaking the ice.
What was that experience like? I've never done anything with hard goods. I really respect folks who do. I've had people on the past on this podcast who have done things in terms of health foods, drinks, alcoholic seltzers. I always find it really, really hard. I've always enjoyed like services and tech. What was that like? The creating makeup, selling it, price points, all that stuff.
Enjoyed it. I kind of felt like a mini Avon lady. I remember
Yes.
being a kid and my mom and my aunt selling Avon, and that's kind of what it felt like. I kind of was the campus lash girl. So I had my lashes, I had my eyeshadow palettes, and I would often take all my stuff, put it in like a little suitcase or a trunk, and take it from DC to Baltimore so I could do different vending events across the DMV and Baltimore area. It was really fun, but it was really hectic because I was also a full-time student at the moment, going through all the things about being a student and then also trying to be this business owner. And it was a lot to manage, but it was a lot of fun and it really taught me a lot. And it really got me onto the path of where I think I am now. I don't think if I didn't own that business back in college, I would probably be where I am now.
That's a heck of an experience, which is funny because, like, excuse me, I think about like going into business about all the stuff that you have to do and how daunting some of it seems. But when there's something you like, people will casually say stuff like, "That's a lot going from city to city driving. I hate the drive from DC to Baltimore or anything in between. It's always terrible." So you're doing this and doing school. That had to be crazy, but also. You take a lot from that. Like that whole, especially going into those vendor spaces, really just selling yourself as people are just like zipping by back and forth. That's really priceless life experience there. So you finished that and you started teaching like right after that. Did you miss it when
I
you,
missed
yeah.
it. I started teaching and I missed it. I remember I had an event for Black History Month with my students. It was a fashion show. And I brought in some lashes and some makeup for my students to wear. And they were all sitting there like, "You've been here all school year and you waited to now to kind of tell us you owned your own makeup brand. How come?" And I was like, because that was a lifetime ago that I kind of put behind me. But after I stopped teaching, I started working at a company called Initiative for Competitive Inner City, which is based in Boston, and they do a lot of great work and a lot of great research for small businesses. And working there, I felt like I spend more time on the phone. We were supposed to be getting applicants for programs that were educating entrepreneurs, but I spent more time giving a lot of the Black women entrepreneurs advice on their businesses. And that's when I was like, okay, that was the start of breaking the ice. When I was just like, okay, you're missing team meetings because you're on a call with a woman from Detroit who's asking you, okay, so I sell this for my business and I've been thinking about pivoting to this. And it's not your job requirement, but you absolutely love talking to these women and it's starting to get you a bit in trouble. What do you do? So it became, how do I start working deeper into the ecosystem? And that's when the job at University of Maryland's Dignan Center, which actually helps me a lot with my business when I was a student there before, popped up to kind of help build this program called Launchpad, which is a program where they train University of Maryland students to train local high school students to get their start in entrepreneurship a lot earlier. And for me, it was like going down and teaching my younger self. I was a Prince George's County student. I was a University of Maryland student. So I could see how I could fit in each piece. And that really made me proud to work on such a project. So those are all the things that made Breaking the Ice come to life.
That's pretty dope how you pulled something from every place that you've worked at. That's the best thing I can pull from employment for myself. Like I always would gripe when I finished college, I told myself, yeah, you're never gonna work. You're just gonna raise a ton of money, build some kind of app, and then be fine with it. So of course, naturally, when that did not happen, you're like sad. But every place that I see it is everywhere I go to earn, to work hard. Take something. You learn something from someone on how you do things. And I didn't want that advice at that time, but it worked out perfectly. You're watching, whether your company's small or large, someone who has more experience do something that I could then take, or some part of my day to day I can take somewhere else. So yeah, I appreciate how you did that and pulled that and used all that. And you said that organization's built based in Boston?
Yes, it is. I was a remote worker. That's how I was working for there.
That's what's up. I grew up in Boston. I'd never heard of that. I got to run that back when I run the episode back. That's what's up. So quick little shout out to my hometown. So while you're doing this and you're taking these things from where you work, what's that switch where you're like, it's time. I'm ready.
I guess I don't really know where the switch came from. I kind of was just, I guess 2023 was one of those years where I was kind of sitting there and it was like, it's a now or never. I turned 26 in 2023 in November, so I spent most of the year being 25. And I was thinking 25 is a weird age because you're still very, very young and naive in the world, but you're old enough to know a lot of things. So I was kind of saying, like, I love the jobs I've taken. Every job I've applied for and every job that I've accepted has been a job I deeply believed in the work, and that's the reason why I have signed to be an employee there. But it comes to a point where it's just like, you know your skills, you know your passions, and you know that your passions go a little bit further than the work that you're doing. And I think that that's when it came, the jump that became, you can build it now while you're young and you have your family support to fall on. Or you can always regret not taking the time right now. And that's kind of where it came from.
Can you explain what breaking the ass is?
Yes, breaking the ice actually is two things. Breaking the ice literally is breaking the ice, as in talking to people, getting people to connect, breaking that ice between the small business owners and those resource partners out there. It also is comes from our phrase, the ceiling is not glass, it's ice, let's break it, because of the glass ceiling that keeps so many people at different levels, kind of from advancing and scaling up in their own careers and in their own business. And then the last thing that it came from is because when I was owning that makeup business and I kind of had to put it down, it really, really messed with my mental health. So I literally broke. My nickname is Ice itself. So breaking the ice and breaking the ice and breaking myself is where I came up with all the ideas and the passions to go help small business owners.
What was it like in those early days of getting the work? Yeah, what'd you do first? I'm curious. Were you looking for just small, trying to catalog small business owners? Were you trying to meet investors in a space first? How'd you spend your time when you were first coming up, first starting?
When I first started, the first thing I did is I went into coaching. So I was just like, you can talk all the talk, you can project manage all the project management you want to do, you can consult and tell people all the things you want to, but until you've mentored a business and seen that business grow, you really can't really tell anybody anything. So that was kind of my first thing. I did a lot of mentoring for school programs. So I currently mentor for Howard's PNC Center for Entrepreneurship. I've mentored in the past for University of Maryland's Do Good Center, and I also mentored for USG's Equity Incubator. And one of my mentees actually won first place, and I kind of was really, really proud of him. He had an excellent app idea, so I'm not going to take credit at all for him winning first place. But to say that you have a mentee that won first place really, really does make you feel good when you're trying to validate the fact that you can do this out here.
Sounds like mentoring something that comes naturally to you. It's something you like a lot.
It's something that I like to do. I like to think that, well, I had a business, I started it, it failed. It didn't fail because I lacked capital or I lacked the network or I lacked connections or anything. It failed because I wanted to focus on my mental health and I wanted to move forward in life. And because of that, I kind of started working at all these jobs where I was seeing all these small business owners having the same exact problems as I did. And it became, I can't let people fail the same way I did. I got to get back out there and make sure that people don't follow my same footsteps, don't make the same mistakes. So that's kind of what it was. It was really my passion for helping people was to make sure that people don't end up doing the same mistakes that I ended up doing.
Is it hard, I'll ask, to find clients? Is that something that the sales aspect of it, is that something that's natural to you? It sounds like it comes naturally to you in terms of you traveling, doing vending shows and things of that nature.
It's a hard and an easy thing. I would say it's the thing that makes it the hardest is you meet a lot of people who want to be clients, but often say things like, but I don't have the money to afford you yet. And it's like, afford me yet? I would work with you. You're the small business owners. My prices revolve around helping you guys and building you up to the level you're at, to the building level you want to be at. I'm not here to be some big level consultant that takes $5,000 every time you meet with me. I don't do that at all. I'm more so here to help small business owners because they may not have the capital. They may not have the employees. They might not have the network or the resources themselves. So that's really what I'm trying to do. And it becomes hard to tell entrepreneurs. They know they need the services, but they don't often think of how to put the funds aside to afford the services. So that's where it becomes the hardest. And then there's also that gap because I work with a lot of startups. I have a lot of clients that are more established businesses, but they often think about the startups first and say, well, you want to help the startups. Should we come to you? Yes, more established businesses can come to me as well. I help all businesses of all sizes. It's really about your goals and your passions and where you're dreaming to take your business and me just being there with you for the ride.
Do you see any, what are common themes that, common things folks need help with when they come to you?
The biggest thing that entrepreneurs come to me with, especially young entrepreneurs, are, can you host more events? When's the next meetup? We want to have more like co-working and meeting up events. There's a really, really big want for that community, especially as I'm seeing a lot of young entrepreneurs moving into the area, especially some that may have left the area to go to school and then come back. Or if they're coming to the area now because you see Baltimore booming as this really big tech hub. So there's a lot of young entrepreneurs out there looking for that community. And in that community, they're looking for events to network. So I often get hit with a lot of, how do we network? When's the next event? Do you know of any events? Can you kind of plug us into any membership groups that may have events that are more centered towards us? So that's kind of like the biggest thing that I see right now. I would think it would be the project management or people looking for more funding, but it often is looking for more community.
That's it. Wow, I would never think that. It's interesting. When we do our showcases, we've recently heard that where folks are like, it was good to kind of meet people on a personal level. And also, I don't know why, people make entrepreneurship really lonely. And it doesn't have to be that way. You can work, it's this whole adage of just like working really hard and being in your like little funnel and not contacting anyone. But it doesn't necessarily have to be that way. That was surprising to hear, but it's also really good to hear that people still want connections while they're building these things out. Do you think there are a sufficient amount of events and networking things that happen within the area of the DMV?
I think there are a lot of great events, especially with Upsurge Baltimore having their Equitech Tuesdays. That's a really, really great event, especially if you're in the tech space in Baltimore to check out very often. And there's often other events that, especially like things like the Gathering Spot will put on events if you are a member of their organization. So there are things out there. I think that people are just looking for things that are a little bit more easy access or a little bit more cheaper to access and things that are a little bit more located all over the areas and gives them a chance to try newer experiences. So maybe not just one location, but maybe one day we're in Chinatown testing out a restaurant there. And the next week we're in Congress Heights or we're in Columbia Heights, I mean. And then the next week, we're maybe in Pigstown, Baltimore, checking out something there so that we're actually also in the communities. I think that that's kind of more so what the entrepreneurs are looking for. But a lot of the events out there do a great job of connecting entrepreneurs. And a lot of organizations are already doing a great job of doing that as well.
Yeah, I'm going to be completely honest. I struggled in D.C. Boston, super startup based, as well as finance and hospitals. But finding a networking event in Boston, there's so many companies I just happen to walk by downtown. You're like, they're doing a mixer. They're doing something. DC has been different. It's very federal. It's so much government everywhere that the events I find are great, but finding them consistently has been really, really tough. I've actually been surprised at how many things I found in Maryland, University of Maryland, Coppin State, Morgan State, Baltimore proper. I do think I was surprised. I've been to a few. I've been to a couple Upsurge events. Been to a couple of events at Coppin that were state based. I think it's pretty supportive. So it's good to see there are resources. It'd be nice to see more of it in DC though, in terms of the startup space or just the small business space. DC's really good at cool hangouts, like brunch. Yeah, it's popping and all that other stuff. But it'd be really nice to just have more of a more depth when it comes to places for those entrepreneurs to meet up. How's it been doing this? And you're about to finish your learning, but has it been the same experience as before when you were a student and doing running the makeup company? as opposed to what you're doing right now? Have you been able to maintain your mental health? How's that been going?
I feel like a lot in being older, especially in being in year 26 now, you learn to communicate a lot more. You learn where your failures mess up. So I would say it is so much easier for me to talk to my professors and be like, hey, I got this going on right now. Like, please just excuse what I might have to turn in before right now. And my professors are very awesome. They're very understanding, so they're very helpful. But I feel like it's a part of growing and communicating and really just understanding where you're at. And really just knowing your boundaries and knowing where to push yourself, I think that's the biggest thing. My biggest thing is I always tell myself, you have to leave something for tomorrow. So I don't try to get everything done today. So you will push yourself to do everything today and you'll leave nothing for tomorrow. There's always something for tomorrow. And so that's my biggest thing, to kick it day by day.
Is there anything, any skill that you'd want to improve on that you think would help catapult things for breaking the ice? Something that you do, or you just probably have to do more of naturally that you're like, yeah, if I master this, things will go crazy.
Yes. I would say public speaking. Me and you talking right now, it probably seems so smooth because it feels like a one-on-one conversation. But if you were to put 100 more people on this call, I probably would be shaking and freezing up. I felt like I used to be able to get up and wing everything, but since the pandemic and not being able to see people as consistently, that has really messed up being able to get in front of crowds and people and talking. That is the one skill that I feel like I would love to work on. And once I work on my public speaking, then that's next level for me.
That's what's up. It's funny you say that because you just seem mad confident, like you're just like, yo, I'm crushing it. I understand. I like public speaking. I don't think you ever shake that initial nervousness. It's funny, the last showcase we had in November, it was at Mobtown Brewing, and they were nice enough to let us use a space, but there were other folks there, like just like talking in the distance, and it was just kind of like all things were going crazy. So I had to just start yelling to get people to focus and to get like all eyes on what was happening at that point. It sucked. I hated it because in your head you're like, you just need everything to go perfect, and you have an idea of how things are gonna go, and it was the worst. But we got through it. But after that, I have so much more empathy for people who don't like it because I'm like, yeah, it's not the easiest thing to do. People are looking at you, especially if they like you or they trust you. How you literally talk out loud is how they may judge your skill set. So no, I totally get it, and you'll definitely get it because you're well versed. You know your stuff. You're super confident. So definitely okay. So what is success for breaking the ice?
Success is you have a small business, or you take a small black or brown community, and you're able to go in there and you're able to hear people talking about their ideas for businesses, and they're able to come and take that to the next level and create businesses. So Maryland already is ranked very highly for it being a state for having businesses in it. So it's about taking Maryland to being the number one state for business. It's about being a space where anyone of any background, no matter like what their background may be or what they may have done in their background, because we also have an incarcerated and population who returns home and they lack opportunities within the workspace and employment within self-employment within entrepreneurship often helps them get back on their feet. So we need to basically be in a space where anyone can create a business and have an idea and be able to get those resources to kind of scale up. Because when you give the resources to those communities, they're able to often go back and help the other people in their community better than we as the resource providers, because they know their communities better. So that's what my goal is. My goal is to kind of create an ecosystem that blooms in Maryland. It doesn't start or end with breaking the ice. But breaking the ice has a piece of that pie.
Absolutely. I definitely see that for you. And one, I love how you say Maryland. Like one thing I had to learn when I got here was how segmented everything is. So I'll like ask questions like not from DC or like especially when I get to Baltimore and everything in between. It's good to have someone claim the state because you're right. The actual state of Maryland is pretty crazy. From like Baltimore to PG, there's tons of stuff happening and there's tons of potential going on there. Do you see yourself jumping in to the events? Like I feel like the event space is like going to be a natural place for you to bloom. Do you see yourself being the provider, hosting that whole thing?
So that's one thing I really want to do, especially as we're coming into the warmer months. I wish I could have started with it being February, with it being Black History Month, but I really want to start hosting those meetups. And I don't want to just host meetups with entrepreneurs that are kind of just like, here we are. I kind of want to connect more with the community. I want to have like different centers and different spaces, different resource partners coming out and helping out. So like if you have an application for your grant coming up, you coming out and you helping the entrepreneurs kind of do that application, like doing a more hands-on-ish meetup so that people are networking, but also getting something tangible out of it. That kind of is the next big thing that I'm trying to work on.
Well, that's what's up. Definitely. If there's any way we can help this community, it's funny. I just let us know because a few days ago, I interviewed a young brother from Baltimore, Shepsworth Bentley. He actually went to Coppin State. And his thing, he started in music, but his whole thing is events now, but he likes all his events to have themes. And one of them, I forget the titles of one of them, but it were events that happened on the weekend where only service industry individuals were invited. And they basically got on stage like stand up to complain about what's it like to be a waiter or a bartender, et cetera, et cetera. And he started doing something called Coffee Club Social, which is great. It's Sunday hangouts at a specific coffee shop where folks go. But that was his thing, was like, it has to be a theme and it has to be productive. And he also had the idea where he was going to do it from 7 to 9 in the morning prior to like work. And it was kind of like the pump yourself up for work style event. But that's his whole thing, is gathering folks together in Baltimore to do things like this. So that randomly came to my mind. But if you're ever looking to do anything, just know if you need anything from us, feel free. We'll definitely push those people in your direction. I think it'll be super beneficial as someone who's doing what we're doing right now. Meeting others who are trying to do the same thing and leaving with something productive is super beneficial. So magic wand time. If there was one person or one business need that could be answered tomorrow and you'd feel like that push things to a really high level, what would that be? Is there a certain milestone that you're looking at right now where you're like, if I accomplish that, things will look much different for me?
In terms of my business or business in general across?
Your business.
Okay. In terms of my business, if I'm able to accomplish one thing, I've been trying to do a lot of pitch competitions and accelerators to really get my name out there, not only to just get my name out there, but to raise funding. I'm really trying to raise funding because I have this belief that if a student starts school and they start in biology as a pre-med, they become a doctor, their undergraduate school gets that credit for them becoming a doctor. Same thing with a lawyer in pre-law, same thing with an engineer in all the different fields. So I really want to work pro bono with students and be able to find the sponsors to fund that work so that when students graduate, they have fully scalable businesses with projects that have already been running professionally. If I'm able to accomplish that, then that is more than enough for me and my business.
All right. I like that. There are people doing great things. It's just the eyes. And I like that. And I appreciate what you're doing. I think it's really cool. I appreciate the work that you've already done. I can't state that enough. Just the makeup alone, traveling between big cities to get out and sell it while attending classes and then doing the same thing and consulting folks who really need the help, I think it's really cool. Aisha, I really appreciate you taking the time to meet with us. Now I'd like to give you the floor to find where people can support you, how they can find your services. If there's anything you would like to shout out besides your socials, anything, please take the floor and do so.
Okay, well, you can find us easily on everything at Breaking the Ice Co. On Instagram, on LinkedIn, we're Breaking the Ice. You can also find us on Facebook at Breaking the Ice. You can email us if you have any inquiries at info@breakingtheice.co. And just a shout out, we do have planners coming out. We have planners called the Ultimate Entrepreneur Planner that kind of helps you organize your personal life and your business life. And we also have a content marketing and social media planner coming out soon. So look forward for both of those.
That looks awesome. I'll definitely keep me posted. I'll cop a couple. I don't know why I just love planners. I love organizing information before I do any kind of task or anything like that. So I start like my day for 2 hours. That's crazy, actually. Probably not 2 hours, like half an hour. But yeah, we'll keep our eye out for that. Well, thank you so much for doing it. I will be happy to push and support any initiatives you got going on. I hope the public speaking and the event stuff crack off soon. Thank you so much for doing the show. I really appreciate you taking your time out the day to talk with us, especially now knowing about the fear of public speaking. I think it's pretty cool that you took the time to speak with us. I really appreciate it. For those listening, Breaking the Ice is the name, and the Moonlighters Club will be back very soon for more with more interviews. We're in the final stages of planning the next showcase, which will most likely be in June in Baltimore, and we'll have some mini events that come up before that to give Moonlighters a chance to connect and meet and exchange information. So everyone out there watching or listening, thank you so much, and we will see you on the next one.